takeaway.org. Stephen Dubner, when did the 20th century end? Do you know?
A couple hours ago?
No. I say the 20th century ended 30 years ago when the Islamic Revolution brought Ayatollah Khomeini to power. It transformed us here in America, and I wonder if you agree with me. The bad guys in America up until that point were Cold War bad guys, Russian bad guys, Joe Stalin, Khrushchev, Gromyko, you know, those kind of folks. Khomeini became the ultimate bad guy 30 years ago after the Islamic Revolution.
Yeah, the old bad guys remind me a little bit when you read about the Revolutionary War and how the Americans won, because the redcoats just stood up in a line of redcoats and fired at you, so you knew where to find them. This is a little bit different.
Yeah, well, in some ways, we were the redcoats to the Islamic revolutionaries who have plagued us ever since and have been the sort of mythological bad guys in our minds. And joining us to talk about the significance of this 30-year anniversary, which is getting underway in Iran, is John Lyne of the BBC. He joins us from Tehran. John, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
So, the significance of the Islamic Revolution in Iran is one thing, but it certainly has become a narrative for geopolitics from the moment Ayatollah Khomeini stepped off that plane from Paris to the adoring crowds in Iran. Would you say that that narrative is still continuing?
I think it's interesting you mentioned the red coats, not a sensitive subject at all with the British, because I think if you... The longer I've been here, the more I really feel that the Islamic Revolution was really Iran's war of independence. And that is really why it survives so strongly now, despite the many problems this country faces. People, like wars of independence around the world, it's such a confused tangle of emotions, but there's so much pride in there. People felt they were humiliated, they were ruled by a Shah. Well, they criticized the Shah for his excesses, he had palaces and so forth, but really what they really disliked was they felt, rightly or wrongly, that he was being manipulated by the United States in particular, ever since, and everybody will still mention to you an event, 55 years ago, the 1953 coup in which the CIA and Britain helped unseat the elected Prime Minister Mossadegh. So above all, it's been a national pride thing. And if you look around... wars of independence around the world. Look around Africa, look around elsewhere in the world about wars of independence, and you'll see that the system of government that follows isn't always, frankly, as efficient as the one that preceded it, even under colonial times.
No, and certainly not as... I mean, you know, to carry the revolutionary model forward, Iran maintained its sort of sense that we are surrounded by enemies. I mean, the hostage situation followed the sense that, the CIA is everywhere was something that assisted the Khomeini government in maintaining its credibility inside Iran. But that's really settled down in the 30 years since.
Well, in a way it has, of course. I mean, you'll still hear death to America chanted every week. Death to America, death to Israel. By the hostage taking, by the U.S. embassy siege, Iran did two things. It was a really crucial event, as crucial as the revolution, because it determined the way it turned out, which was that the hardliners took control. And since then, really, this country hasn't been a proper democracy, although it hasn't been. There is some democracy here. And at the same time, it really guaranteed the enmity of the United States and therefore isolation for Iran from the West.
Well, let's
and that's been the narrative ever since.
Right. Well, let's talk about what people are feeling there in Iran. I mean, is the legacy for Iranians, aside from this national pride that you talk about, I mean, do they feel as though they began what has ended up being things like suicide bombers, the sort of martyrdom impulse that is so prevalent in certain areas of the Islamic world? Do Iranians believe that that's a heroic consequence of the revolution, or are they trying to distance themselves from those sorts of things?
Well, we always got to be careful here about the Iranian government and the Iranian people.
Right.
The Iranian people, I think, really wouldn't have much of a view on that. They certainly wouldn't understand that Iran maybe, in some extent, is responsible for, well, you could say, to some extent, really sparked off the whole kind of battle between Islam and the West, to some extent. And that includes helping the spread of suicide bombing via Hezbollah into Lebanon. So the government, I don't think, would admit its part in that, but quietly would be quite rather pleased that Iran continues its defiance of the West and its defiance of America.
John, what is the split between the feeling between the people and the government of Iran toward the election of Obama? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I think the government itself is kind of confused about it. President Bush was such a kind of certainty for them. They knew they hated him, and they were pretty sure that a lot of the rest of the world, frankly, joined them in that. So that made life pretty easy for them. Now, President Obama, they're very confused about. They were very slow to respond to his initial advances. And then President Ahmadinejad, having sent him a message of congratulations, a unique event in the history of the Islamic Republic, then responded to his offer the other day of the hand of friendship, or whatever the exact words were, by a speech in which he said, yes, if there's real change, we welcome it. But at the same time, it was one of the strongest anti-American speeches I've ever heard him make, just listing tens and tens of things for which they blame America, from the 1953 coup to support for an almost endless list of grievances. People in general, I think they're rather intrigued. Certainly, obviously, the kind of more westernized elite are very intrigued. It's always difficult to get a complete picture of Iran. It's a country, a very varied country, a lot of people in villages who are poorer. But even they, I think, will be very interested and be interested to see. But don't forget that there's this great legacy of bitterness from the Bush administration. I know things are seen differently either side of the Atlantic. But, for example, the unquestioning American support for Israel against the Palestinians in Gaza recently is just seen by almost everybody here, pro or anti-government. I'm just very, very bitter about that.
Well, John Lyon, the window on Iran will open a bit as we observe some of the celebrations that will be taking place over the next month or so as this 30th anniversary is celebrated. John Lyon, thanks so much for joining us. John Lyon, BBC correspondent in Tehran, Iran, joining us to talk about the 30th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution, which begins, the first celebrations of which begin this weekend. And now, some headlines from Femi Okay.
Thanks, John. 29 minutes past the hour.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.